Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orly, and today we are studying Shmuel Beis, Perek Yotes, the 19th chapter. We just saw the tragic death of Avshalom, and David has just received the news. Pasuk Aleph is very, very emotionally laden Pasuk, describing the grief that David experiences. Vayirgaz HaMelech Vayal Al Aliyas HaSha'ar Vayevch. David trembled and he went up to the upper chambers of the gates and he cried. V'cho Amar Belechto, and this is what he said when he went. B'ni Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni Avshalom, Mi Tein Musi Ani Tachtecha, Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni. My son Avshalom, I wish that I could have died instead of you, Avshalom, my son. This tragedy is obviously so multifaceted for David. It's a personal tragedy at the loss of a son. It's a tragedy at the death of a rebellious son. Should he feel relief or should he feel grief? The Ralbag explains David realizes that Avshalom's death was a result of his own actions with his taking of Bathsheba and of having Uriah Hachiti killed at war. The Das Sofrim suggests that David wishes death over this pain because of the busha that he experienced. Any parent would feel busha from a rebellious son, let alone the king, whose trademark, David HaMelech's trademark, was ruling his people with tzedek and mishpat. Now his house is projecting the exact opposite. Yoav hears that David is in a very intense state of mourning, and the people as well follow David's lead. Pasuk Gimel 3, Vatehi hateshua bayom hahu le'evel l'chol ha'am, ki shama ha'am bayom hahu le'mor ne'etzav ha'melech al bino. This, the salvation, the victory that the Bnei Israel had turned, and the celebration that would accompany this victory, turned into mourning for all of the nation because they heard how terribly saddened David was. So we skip to Pasuk Hey, V'hamelech la'at espana v'yizak hamelech kol gadol. The Navi continues to tell us about David's mourning. He covered his face in mourning and he cried out a great cry. B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni, my son Avshalom, Avshalom, my son, my son. Chazal and Gemara Sota tell us that David used these words, B'ni, 8 times to elevate Avshalom from the seven levels of Gehenim and then to Gan Eden. The Musar HaNeviim explains that within David's cry of pain came a plea to Hashem that Avshalom's descent to the world of sin was a result of his own missteps, meaning that David as a father was not a role model for him, and one thing led to another in his killing of Amnon, in his being influenced by the people of Geshur where he stayed for 2 years. And the Musar HaNeviim focuses on the word B'ni. Why did this word B'ni, B'ni, why was this the sort of the key in elevating the neshama of Avshalom? So he explains that what he's saying is that Avshalom's descent happened because he is B'ni, he is my son. Therefore, and I'm not a good role model for him. Therefore, he should be forgiven and brought to Gan Eden. We certainly see from here how the actions of a living person can elevate the neshama of a deceased person, which we understand well to a certain extent, because whenever we do anything, le'iloi nishmas, the deceased, this is in fact what we were doing. Our actions in this world can impact the neshamos of those that have gone to the next world. Yoav has very strong words for David, and as we have seen time and time again, Yoav, his cousin, and his head general, gets straight to the point and does not mince any words. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6, Vayovo Yoav el HaMelech HaBayis, and Yoav came to the king in his house, Vayomer, and he said, Hovashta Hayom es Pnei Kol Avadecha, Hamimaltim es nafshecha hayom, ve'es nefesh banecha ubenosecha, ve'nefesh nashecha, ve'nefesh pilakshecha. And he said, you have humiliated the faces of all of your servants, those servants that have put their lives on the line for you and your sons and your daughters and for your wives and for your pilakshim. Lahava es son echa, v'lisno es ohavecha. This is what you do. You are showing your love for your enemy, meaning you're crying over the death of Avshalom, and you're hating those that love you. You're not even, you're alienating those that love you, those people that fought for you. Ki higadata hayom, ki ein lecha sarim ve'avadim, ki yadati hayom, ki lu Avshalom chai v'chulanu hayom meisim, ki az yashar be'inecha. By your actions and not showing your appreciation for your people, you are basically saying that I don't have any officers, I don't have any servants, because it would have been better if Avshalom would be living and all of them would have died in the war. Continues Yoav and says, if you do not get yourself together and face those people who fought on your behalf and you continue to alienate your men, you will have no more followers, which will be far worse than anything that has ever happened to you. Your entire melucha could collapse. What David was saying was that David's reaction was the reaction of a private person, but his reaction needed to be that of a king representing the interests of the people. He needed to put the interests of the people over his own. Yoav's words seemed to have penetrated, and David sat at the gates of the city to show his appreciation for the people. The people who had been with Avshalom in the past debated if they should welcome David back as their leader, which they ultimately did. The Mered Avshalom took place for about 6 months. And now this transition of power back to David would take place. David sends word to Eviasar and Sadok the Kohanim, who are back in Yerushalayim, to send word to his own Shevet, his people from Yehuda, that they should take the lead in bringing David back to the throne. After all, he says in Pasuk Gimel 13, Achayatem, Atzmi B'sariyatem, V'lamatiyu Achornim L'hashiv Es HaMelech, I am your flesh and blood, we're relatives. The Malbim explains, even if some of you rebelled against me and sided with Avshalom, you need not fear that I will punish you. Why should you not be the first one to bring me back to Yerushalayim? He also gets word to Amasa, this was Avshalom's general, that he wants to appoint him now as general over his army. The Pasuk says that he wants to appoint him Tachas Yoav. Most Mefarshim say that at this point, David was slowly transitioning Yoav away from this leadership position and wanting to put Amasa in his place. It seems to be, as a result, the final straw was that he killed Avshalom despite David's specific order to spare his life. The Abarbanel points out that David wanted Amasa on his side for practical reasons, because Amasa was a very powerful person in Avshalom's camp, and David wanted to avoid the possibility that he would possibly sway the people away from David. So the people of Yehuda go to meet David at Gilgal, which was on the other side of the Yarden, to bring David back across the Jordan. And then in Pasuk Yud Zayin, we meet up with Shimi ben Gera again, the person who had previously cursed David. Shimi ben Gera ben Hayimini asher mi bachur vayered im ish Yehuda lekras hamelech David. Shimi quickly tries to meet David, but this time not to curse him and throw stones at him, but to beg his forgiveness. He heard the news of David being reinstated, and he brings with him 10,000 men from Binyamin, along with Tziva, who had come before with David, with a lot of provisions. And all of this was a display of how much support Shimi has around him, how many people are backing him. And by sort of presenting all these people as a way of telling him that if you do not give me forgiveness, you basically would be alienating all these people. Tziva is here in the mix as well, because Tziva, according to some of Farshim, needs to continue to curry favor with David, particularly in case Mephibosheth comes along and refutes Tziva's claims that he had made previously in a couple of prakim before, that Mephibosheth was not loyal to David. We discussed this in the past, where Tziva badmouthed Mephibosheth. That was back in Perek Tessayan. So now that David is reinstated, everybody has to make sure that they are on David's side. So Shimi begs forgiveness for the terrible curses that he gave to David. And Rashi says that Shimi's argument was basically a practical one. He has all these people behind this, and he says, if you show forgiveness to me, then all of these people who also sinned against you will be confident that you will accept them as well. Meaning that your pardon of me can only bring more peace to your melucha. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph 21, Shimi refers to all of Bnei Yisrael as Beis Yosef. He says, I am the first one to come from amongst all the house of Yosef. Why refer to the people there as Beis Yosef? And says the Yalkut Shimoni, Shimi is invoking the name of Yosef HaTzadik, who forgave his brothers. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, Ma echav shel Yosef gamluhu ra'a v'hu gamlan tova, that just like Yosef, whose brothers paid him evil, ra, but he paid them back with good. Af ani gmalticha ra gmol imi tova. I also did bad to you, but just like Yosef did not take retribution on his brothers, please do good to me. Yoav is obviously witnessing this interaction, and he interjects once again. He absolutely cannot tolerate this insubordination, and again feels David is too soft in his approach. And here again, it's almost a carbon copy of the exchange they had before. Pasuk Chaf Beis 22. Vayana Avishai ben Tzruya vayomer hatacha zos lo yumas Shimi ki kelel es Mashiach Hashem. Now you're still not going to kill Shimi? He cursed the anointed one of Hashem. Vayomer David, and David said, ma li v'lachem b'nei Tzruya. What is it with you two? What is it with the sons of Tzruya? It's enough of this. Stop interfering in my decision-making. Stop acting with such venom towards those that have angered me. I'm trying to make peace. And you, he continues and he says, Ma li v'lachem b'nei Tzruya kitiyu li hayom l'satan. You're acting as if you're my adversary. In other words, I'm trying to bring peace to the kingdom. Hayom yumas ish b'Yisrael ki alo yadati ki hayom ani melech al Yisrael. Today, that a man should die today on the day that I am reinstated as king. Ma li v'lachem, you're acting as if this melucha of you is yours. It is not. Let me make the decisions, and don't act so hot-headed all the time. And David swore that he will not put Shimi to death. As we said, later on his deathbed, Shimi would be put to death by Shlomo HaMelech, not because of his own personal anger, but because of the Chil Hashem that he did with cursing the Mashiach Hashem. The Sefer Mishpatos Zahav brings a beautiful explanation to this entire exchange. Aside from the practical reasons of not punishing Shimi in order to prevent any more discord and instability in his kingdom, we also spoke about this last time, that he didn't act with vengeance, and David HaMelech didn't act out of anger. The fact that the fact that Shimi asked for mechila, he asked for forgiveness, he said, if I do not forgive Shimi from a personal standpoint, how can I then ask God to forgive me for my sins, particularly for my sin with Bathsheba? Hashem's actions towards mankind is a reflection of our actions towards others, and therefore I have to forgive him if I want God to forgive me. The Medrash actually brings down that David saw Baruch HaKodesh, that Mordechai and Esther would come from Shimi, and therefore he spared his life, which is why Mordechai HaTzadik is referenced in Megillas Esther as Ish Yehudi, Yehudi referring in the general sense to a Jew, of course, but also Ish Yehudi to a specific Jew, to a specific person from Shevet Yehuda, namely David, who spared his ancestor Shimi's life, thus allowing the birth of Mordechai. We then have Mephibosheth, who meets up with David, and there is debate as to when this meeting took place. Is it a fast forward to when David actually arrives in Yerushalayim, or does it occur when he has just crossed the Yarden before returning to Yerushalayim? And his clothing is torn, and he had not bathed, and he had signs of mourning. Recall that Siva, who was the servant or the slave of Mephibosheth before, had claimed that Mephibosheth had sympathized with Avshalom, and hence David gave away all of his assets to Siva. So now David asks him, what are you doing here, and where were you before when Siva came to greet me and came to meet me with all of the provisions? And Mephibosheth responds and says, Siva tricked me. He left without me, even though I wanted to go with him to meet and support you. But he left without saddling my donkey for me, because as you know, I can't walk. I am lame. And now he goes and he spreads these rumors about me that I am not loyal to you, but I'm here now to show you my loyalty. David, not being able to verify either of their claims, decides that the field that he had previously taken from Mephibosheth and give it to Tziva would now be split between the two of them. Mephibosheth says he can have it all. I'm just happy you're back. There is debate in the Gemara Shabbos. We referenced this a little bit a couple of parakim ago, whether or not David acted appropriately here. And according to one opinion, the act of splitting the assets was paid back measure for measure to David with the splitting of his melucha during the time of his grandson, Rehavam. The scene shifts back to David when he was crossing from one side of the Jordan to the other, and Barzillai Hagil Adi, this person who had brought him supplies in the past when he had been fleeing from Yerushalayim, was invited back with David to Yerushalayim as a show of appreciation for his support. Barzillai says, "I'm an old man, you have no use for me, but take my son Kimham instead," which David does. The people of Yehuda accompanied David back to Yerushalayim, but then another dispute broke out between Yehuda and the rest of the tribes, who felt that Yehuda was monopolizing David and that Yehuda was overrepresenting themselves. This would lead to yet more strife in David's kingdom in the next parak. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.